Little Ones, the Sleep Manual Podcast.
Hello again and welcome to the Sleep Manual, a weekly podcast by us here at Little Ones. I'm Amanda and I've got my Little Ones co-founder Nikki here with me.
Hi guys.
For those of you who don't know, Little Ones is the home of baby and toddler sleep solutions, and we are so passionate about helping families regain their sleep. Visit our website, www.littleones.co, or find us on the App Store. Today we are problem solving early waking in your little one.
Yep, that's right, because there is something so painful about being woken up at 5 a.m. every single day, isn't there?
Oh, totally.
It's certainly not morning in my house.
I got woken up this morning by a little fingers tapping my head. That was not the nicest way to wake up, I can tell you.
And I guess that wasn't your husband.
No, not my husband.
So we're going to talk to you guys today about why early waking is a problem for your little one and for you and for your household, about some causes of early waking. So why is your little one early waking? And then, of course, how you can resolve it. And I think this is something that everybody is always asking us about, because it's one thing to have your baby or your toddler sleeping well during the day and overnight, but often there's this pesky sort of 5 a.m. wake that lingers or starts to occur and then lingers. And it can sometimes be pretty hard to figure out what's caused it or how you get rid of it.
So let's first of all define what an early wake is. I think waking between 6 and 7 a.m., I think that needs to be considered as sort of normal starting the day. You know, at that sort of time, even if closer to 6 o'clock, you know, still isn't great in my household if I'm having to be up then. But so an early wake we would define as before 6 a.m., that time, you know, between 5 and 6 a.m., anything before 5 a.m., obviously that's still the middle of the damn night for me. But before 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, it's a big problem, isn't it?
Yeah, but once people become parents, you know, maybe you're used to getting up at 7:30 or 8 o'clock. And when people become parents, your expectation actually does have to shift. And for you, it might be too early to get up at 6:15 or 6:30, especially on the weekends. But actually, that is a very reasonable time for your little one to start the day. The problem that we get into if we start to try and push their wake up time much later than that is it can kind of throw their whole circadian rhythm out. And we're going to talk about the circadian rhythm a bit later on, because that features really heavily in the early waking crisis.
Yeah.
So why is it an issue, Amanda, if our little ones are up for the day before 6 o'clock, sort of in that early morning period?
Well, we know that our babies and toddlers, they sort of need to work on roughly a 12-hour day and a 12-hour night. And so if you're starting the day at 5 o'clock in the morning, then that realistically means that you're going to have to get them to bed at some time, you know, 5 p.m. at nighttime for their bedtime.
Yeah.
But that just throws your whole day out. It's not going to be, or I guess otherwise you're going to have to reclaim some sleep somewhere else throughout the day to try and push that bedtime out, which becomes tough for us as adults if you've got other children to work around, or work or daycare or a whole lot of other things. You know, some people it might work having a 5 o'clock wake up and a 5 p.m. Bedtime. It certainly might work, but I know for the majority of us, it's definitely a too early wake.
And then, of course, if you're, as we'll discuss a bit later on, if you're consistently, baby is consistently waking at 5, or, you know, whenever the early wake is, and then you're working on a 12-hour day and you're putting them down early in the evening, that becomes a bit of a vicious cycle, and you're really going to struggle to break that early morning wake, because they've actually ended up setting their body clock to that time period. And our little ones are really strongly governed by their body clocks. So if you're working against the circadian rhythm.
Yeah, and if you're going to try and change that wake once it's really sort of set in your baby's body clock, then it's almost like sort of moving time zones almost, you know, like if we were to travel, you actually have to change your body clock essentially. But I think mostly it would just really throws that whole day out. It's not going to work in with other children generally, school pickups, drop-offs and all of those sorts of things. Having that early morning wake is hard.
And certainly if you've got more than one child and the youngest is the one early waking, then you realistically can't be putting them to bed at 5 or 6 o'clock at night because you're it's the busiest time of your night with your other kids. You're going to be cooking dinner. You're going to be bathing the other kids. You know, you're not going to be able to spend that time settling that overtired baby to sleep. So these are reasons why you probably are wanting to shift that early morning wake-up time. So let's look at what has actually caused your little ones to wake early in the first place, because they don't just wake early for the fun of it.
So the biggest
number one cause of early waking in a baby or a toddler is what has happened in the day before. So you'll hear us harp on a lot about how much a little one's day sleep massively affects their nighttime sleep and their settling, and of course also their early waking. And so crucially, we have to look at the daytime nap structure as the first place to try and problem solve the nights and the early mornings. So what are some things in that daytime nap structure, Amanda, that can negatively or cause an early morning wake?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few things that can happen
in
the day before. I know. So that happens in the day before that can then cause that early morning wake the next day. So the first thing would be the afternoon nap is too late or it is too long. So that is just pushing out the sort of daytime, and then you might be trying to still put your baby down at the normal sort of bedtime, but that total day sleep in the afternoon is actually just too late or too long. And that causes the early morning wake. The next thing would be, and this is a really common one that happens as our children get older and we forget to really adjust their first nap of the day, is the morning nap is either too early and or both too long again. Mm-hmm. So what can end up happening here is, say, your baby had been waking at 7 o'clock in the morning and then you were used to putting them down at 8:30 for their first nap of the day. That first nap then may go through till, 10 o'clock. And we just sort of haven't realized that the baby has actually gotten older and maybe they don't need that much sleep at that time anymore. So pushing out that first nap and also making it shorter can help with early morning waking, because what ends up happening is the baby realizes they actually have to sort of recalibrate their sleep. Oh, sorry, they have to recalibrate their daytime awake time. They end up waking earlier because they know, you know what, I get to go back to sleep at 8:30, so it doesn't actually matter what time I wake in the morning because, I've got enough energy to be awake until then.
So I actually think that it's also they need more awake time before that bigger nap. So they just need to be awake for longer before that bigger nap, so they start waking earlier.
Yeah, that's right. So that sort of leads on to then and the third thing, which would be too much daytime sleep in total. So maybe a combination of their morning, lunch and afternoon nap, or if they're still having three naps a day, is just in total too much day sleep. So it's somewhere in their 24-hour period, they need to trim back on some of their sleep, and they've chosen to do that in the early morning, which is not fun for you or anyone in the household.
That's quite a common cause of early waking and something we certainly see a lot in our little ones' village. Our consultants see a lot is early morning waking, and when they start to ask the parents how long the little ones are sleeping for during the day, they can easily see that even tweaking the nap times by 15 minutes to half an hour can actually have a really big impact, because they see that the babies are sort of going into the night undertired. By 5 a.m. in the morning, they might have already done a really big, decent chunk of sleep. And because they had so much sleep the day before, they're just not tired enough to sleep for longer than that.
Yeah, this happens a lot when they're getting older and we just sort of don't realize it.
But then, of course, the flip side of that is that they haven't had enough daytime sleep. It's such a fine balance. So if they're overtired, so if they haven't napped very well at all, or if their awake periods have been way too long for their age, then they're going to bed at night overtired. They've got a whole bunch of those nasty overtired hormones like cortisol running through their system, and that actually sort of prevents them from entering long periods of deep sleep because it's like the fight or flight hormone. So that's waking them up at 5 o'clock in the morning and they're going to be cranky because they didn't have good sleep the day before and they've had an early start.
Yeah. And then the last reason to do with what can happen that day before as to what will cause your early morning wake is that the bedtime is just simply too late, and that causes an early morning wake again because they're overtired. Now this happens to my 7-year-old now all the time. if we've had a late night the night before, it happened just last week, where we went out, she went to sleep. It was still a late bedtime for her, but then I ended up hurting myself, and they, both of my girls, got up to check if I was okay, and that then went on for a while. So, long story, puppy ended up punching me in the face by mistake. But they went to bed late, and then, of course, the next morning, my younger one is just wide awake at 5:30 in the morning, and she, you know, that's just an early morning wake caused by a late bedtime, overtired. And I know that it was our fault for going out and, you know.
And interestingly, that's like the really common advice around that one, which is so contradictory, is, you know, I hear people say all the time, and I said it myself a lot in the past, oh, my baby or my kid is waking at 5:30 every morning. And everyone's advice is, well, put them to bed later. Keep them up later at night and then they'll sleep longer in the morning. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. It actually works the opposite, because the longer that you keep them up, the earlier they're going to wake. So it's a real catch 22. But do not be aiming for a late bedtime if you're trying to get rid of an early wake.
Yeah, for sure. And then summer, I guess, if we move on to sort of things that might be causing in the room, some causes of early morning waking, sunlight, and summer especially is a huge reason. So making sure that your bed, the child's bedroom, is really dark, and so that the sunlight doesn't come in, because as soon as your brain wakes up and starts seeing sunlight, that's an automatic almost caveman response to, okay, it's daytime and we need to actually get up and about and start moving around. So if you can keep those rooms dark, the better.
Yeah, another thing that can happen, and I think people really underrate this one, is that your baby just gets cold. And this is probably more common in spring and autumn months, where often it will maybe start off at the start of the evening a bit warmer, but then by sort of between 4 and 5, it's actually the coldest part of the night. And so their core body temperature has dropped. They're actually getting cold. We've underestimated how many blankets they need or how many layers of clothing in their sleep suit they need. And they're just waking up cold. So we would, we'll have a look at some strategies a bit later on, but that one is actually quite common. I've done that myself.
Yeah.
And another, my friend, her baby recently, who had just started waking through the night, sleeping through the night, her young baby, there were a couple of nights where he was waking up at about 4:30 and she was trying to figure out why. And then I said, well, I think maybe he's just gotten cold, and now it's resolved.
Another thing that can happen actually on the flip side is they actually get hot. So this happens again to my younger one. They can get too hot. She can get really sweaty. And then because she has sweated at nighttime when she's been going to bed, she'll wake cold in the morning just with that sort of wet sort of feeling, which, so just be aware, you know, like it's such a minefield again. But if they are getting sweaty at night and they're over blanketed, or is that even a word? if they've got too many layers on, they can get too hot, and that can end up meaning that they're too cold in the morning.
The thing we always would encourage people to do anyway is make sure that your little ones are dressed in breathable fabrics overnight. So cotton, merino, wool, bamboo. Stay away from anything polyester, and that includes fleece, because that is definitely going to make... I don't know why out there are so many fleecy blankets, polar fleece blankets for babies, and there's zip-up polar fleece, and they even call them sleep suits. I'm like, that is such a hazard for a baby to be sleeping in that kind of material, because they cannot breathe in it. It makes them sweaty, just like Amanda said. They get cold because they've got sweat on them and it cools down. It's actually just a recipe for disaster. Steer clear from anything made of man-made fabrics when your baby's really little. The massive, once your baby's over about 6 months old, one of the biggest things that happens with an early wake is that it's become a habit. And the thing about this is it becomes a habit for one of those other reasons we just discussed. But then once it's locked in, it's locked in. And all it takes is for your child to do it for 3 days for it to become a habit. So maybe, you know, for 3 days they were waking cold, or for 3 days they were waking because they were overtired, or they'd had enough daytime sleep, or their nap structure was wrong, whatever the reason is. If your baby's older than 6 months, that's really quickly becoming a habit wake. And then you're in trouble, because that is a bit harder to fix than simply putting on an extra blanket or adjusting their nap structure. Interestingly, there are three key triggers that form a habit wake or a habit response in your little one's body, and that is sunlight, food, and communication. So if your child is receiving any of these things at that time, and this goes for any time of the night, if they're waking at midnight and receiving these things, then it's over the age of about 6 months, it starts to lock in a habit wake. And that's why, uncannily, you can literally set your alarm by it by the time that your child's going to wake, and they'll wake at that exact same time, because it's not called a body clock for no reason.
I think this happens probably more so in toddlers, especially when they wake up and ask for a drink, or they ask for a bottle, or they ask to go to the toilet, or whatever they do. And then we unknowingly will talk to them, or we'll give them a bottle, or turn the lights on. Yeah.
Try and negotiate with them.
Yeah. So any sort of communication at that point is just so detrimental to their sleep, because it just makes their brain turn on, think it's a thing that's meant to happen in the night, and then can cause that habit wake, as Nikki said. So if you've got a toddler especially, I think this is probably where we fall into the trap. And, you know, a week down the track, they're still waking at that same time, and you're talking to them, and then you're giving them a bottle of food or whatever. When they start waking, just take them back to their room, put them down, don't talk to them, and hopefully that will resolve that habit waking. But I guess another reason that can cause an early morning wake is outside noises, you know, rubbish trucks going past, or
the neighbors leaving for work.
Yeah, the really loud birds in some areas, or cars going past. So in those situations, it's actually quite easy to mask the sound of those things by adding white noise into your little one's room. And that's just so easy and so effective to just mask those sounds and help your children sleep longer.
And at that time of the morning, your little one's coming into a period of light sleep anyway. So if there is something like that, if there's something that's bothering them, if there's something they can hear, or if there's something they can see because the sun is creeping through the windows, then they're in that light sleep. So they're going to be bothered by it. They're going to wake up. They're going to notice it. So we want to make sure we can tick off all of these quick wins in a way, chuck some white noise on, make the room warmer, you know, and try and sort of get some of these low-hanging fruit, and then you can try and figure out what's going on for your little one. So should we look then at how on earth people can resolve this early waking? Yeah. Because no one wants to be waking at that time of the morning.
No, definitely not. So I guess as Nikki was just talking about, we can do those quick wins. So you can do the make sure that your room is blacked out. However you do this, if you don't have to get flash, you know, beautiful blackout curtains, you can just even put up some tinfoil on the or aluminium foil on the windows that can just instantly black out.
Blanket over the windows or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that will really help with the sunlight coming in. Then you've got white noise. That's obviously simple, easy. Get a speaker or even like an old tablet or something playing some white noise. If you want to listen to our white noises, we have them on all streaming platforms. I personally use brown noise. I think it's just a slightly nicer noise, a bit deeper in pitch. And that, again, super easy, quick win.
Mm-hmm.
And another quick win, I guess, mm-hmm. is the temperature, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
So temperature, if you monitor the temperature in the room, there's lots of different monitoring things now. I used to have a little plug that actually plugged in away from the heater, and the plug would monitor its own temperature and then have the heater on the other side of the room so that the heater would just simply turn it on and off and work as a thermostat. So that's just a super easy thing that you can do, especially with us in the southern hemisphere going into winter.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can add extra layers to your child's clothing or their bedding, so there's a warmer sleep sack. And just thinking about those ideal temperatures, what are they, Nikki? What are the ideal temperatures?
So the ideal temperature for a nursery is between 18 to 20 degrees Celsius or around 65 to 68 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the ideal temperature for sleep. You want the room to be cooler so that you're and your baby nice and warm. So you don't want to have a really hot, toasty room because that actually does not help us sleep at all. We actually rely on our bodies rely on a temperature shift in order to release some of those sleep hormones. So we need the environment to be a bit cooler, but not freezing cold. Do you know what I actually used to do with my children? And I think you did this too, Amanda. When they were old enough that they were in a baby sleeping bag or a sleep sack. So from once they stopped being swaddled, sort of 4 or 5 months onwards, often, especially at the time of this sort of transitional time of year, autumn and spring in particular, when it was a bit warmer at bedtime, I put them in their lightweight sleeping bag, sleep sack, when they went to bed. And then before I went to bed, so several hours later, I would actually go in and change them while they were sleeping into their warmer sleeping bag. Because by then it had cooled down quite a bit in the house, and then I knew they were going to stay nice and toasty throughout the night. And it freaked me out the very first time I did this because I was like, they're definitely going to wake up. I'm literally taking a sleeping bag off them. And you, there's only so much gentle you can do in that because you kind of have to move them around a bit quite vigorously to get the sleeping bag out and put the other one down. And yet they always stayed asleep. It was like, it's like dream feeding. They were in such a good deep sleep at that point. This was usually around 10 o'clock at night, I suppose.
Yeah.
They just stayed asleep. And then there was no waking up cold because they were in their nice, warm, sort of winter weight sleeping bag. So that's definitely an option if you think that in your house it starts off a bit cooler at night and then a bit warmer at night and then cools down.
Yeah, I did the same, and it's those sort of
it's hilarious.
Edge seasons, isn't it? When it's like super hot, so like say 7 o'clock at night, and then it's not at all warm at 10 o'clock. So yeah, I did that. My first one, honestly, I could do whatever I wanted with her and she'd still stay asleep. But generally before midnight, if they've had a good daytime, if you're doing anything like that in their room, or, you know, you even need a little bit of light, turning on lights or whatever, generally before midnight, they will stay asleep because they have such a high amount of melatonin. Mm-hmm. Running through their system that they will stay asleep. And even if they did wake or rouse, because that same thing, you know, because of the
sleep pressure, melatonin, really high.
They will generally just go back to sleep. That's just don't talk to them. Don't give them too much light, and, you know, don't feed them, is, I guess, like what we said before in the habit waking part.
So if we're also talking about the big guy, how you usually can resolve early waking is, as we've talked about previously, you really need to have a look at what is happening in your little one's day. So this is these are still pretty easy wins because it's not that hard to tweak their nap schedule. What you really need to be learning about is the right amount of awake periods that your little one is capable of having, and these change very often as your little one is growing. So that is the amount of time that they're awake for between naps. You also need to be savvy on how many naps they should be having and at what times and for what lengths. Because as Amanda discussed, if that early morning, if the first nap is too early or too long, or if the last nap is too late or too long, all of these things are going to sabotage that night sleep and can cause those early morning wakes. So depending on the age of your baby or your toddler, you need to lock in a really foolproof, age-appropriate nap schedule. Of course, we've got them all from birth to 3 years old inside our app. Like basically the perfect nap schedule for your little ones at all of those ages to try and avoid this early wake happening in the first place. So even if you think you're in a pretty good nap schedule, it can't hurt to have a look at what's in our app and see if, you know, that aligns with what you're currently doing, and you can at least start to rule that out as a cause for your little one's early wake, alongside implementing those other quick win strategies of the sleep environment.
So I think it's very important with that age-appropriate nap structure. And even if you're, like as Nikki said, if you're following something else or following other programs that are out there, I think that if you do have that habit wake, I think we underestimate how quickly that things change. And our program is sort of broken down, especially in those early ages, down to 2 weeks, which is pretty rare to have things changing that quickly. And other programs that I've seen out there, I know that people sort of get stuck sometimes with programs that are working, that seem to be working at the time, but change very slowly. And so then the baby's gotten older and they just haven't realized that it's time to move on from this structure that they're doing. So if you do have a habit wake, for sure, have a look at that nap structure and maybe trim down on that. So, sleep.
Talking about habit wakes then, Amanda, how if we, you know, if my little one's over 6 months old and I think I've got a pretty good nap structure and I'm using the little one's sleep programs inside the app and I've ruled out all of the other stuff, dark room, white noise, they're warm enough, all of that. So I'm left with the conclusion that they do have a habit wake and that 5 a.m. has just become a nasty habit.
Yep.
How are we resolving that one?
Okay, so first of all, as we said before, don't offer any of those body clock triggers. You know, don't offer food unless you absolutely know that they are hungry.
And actually, we have to say, we're not talking about not feeding your child if they genuinely do have a feed at that time of the morning. But if this is new and unusual.
If it's new and unusual, and even I had to break a habit wake, an early morning habit wake, and my baby would wake at the same time every morning and I would feed her. And then I was like, actually, I think this is a habit wake. So I did leave her for 5 minutes to see if she would still be crying or still want to be up for food, and you know what, she went back to sleep. That took 3 days and then the habit wake was gone, and then it meant that she would have a much better feed at that 7 o'clock in the morning feed as well, because she hadn't just fed it at 5 o'clock. And that's actually, I think that's probably the biggest indicator as to if your wake isn't a habit wake or if it is genuinely food, is if you're feeding your baby at 5 o'clock in the morning and then they are just completely disinterested at 7, then it's unlikely that they actually need that feed at 5 o'clock. So you could start trimming that down and move their feed to 7 o'clock. As we said, body clock triggers, so turning on all of the lights or going and turning on the TV. Really loudly talking to your baby. I know some people even take their kids out to the TV and turn on the TV. I'm like, no, don't do that. Keep everything calm, quiet, and dark.
Pretend it's still nighttime.
Pretend it is the middle of the night. So make sure that you don't do any of those. Another thing that I briefly touched on already is leaving your baby unless they are upset. So if your baby is waking and cooing and just lying there staring at the monitor, Do not go in. I know that we love to see them all the time, but if you go in, you will potentially end up with a habit wake. So leave them unless they're upset.
And if they are upset, you know, we would recommend comforting them in a very soothing, calm, nighttime way, not sort of, oh, well, I'll get you up and we'll start the day.
Another thing that you can do, actually, which is what I ended up doing to break my daughter's early morning habit wake, which I was just talking about before, to actually leave. I left her, but what I did is rather than going into the room, I just talked to her over the monitor, and that I calmed her as I would at nighttime, but I calmed her over the monitor, which meant that she could hear me, but, you know, there was no other triggers. She was still a bit sleepy. She knew that she was all okay, still in her bed. She hadn't been taken out of her bed or anything. And that really helped break that habit wake very quickly.
In a younger baby, you know, a baby that's still pretty receptive to hands-on settling, you can definitely just treat it like a night wake and resettle your baby back to sleep. Or, you know, if they're still quite young, feed them or give them half a feed and resettle them back to sleep, as though pretend it's 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, like Em said, don't turn on the lights or anything. Just resettle them back to sleep until their normal or the wake up time that you're sort of sticking to. And then another interesting method linked to settling them back to sleep is a sneaky little trick that we call rouse to sleep. And now what that is it's magical. And it works by you disrupting their sleep cycle gently so that they come out of a sleep cycle, go back into another one, and the idea is that they stay asleep through when they would normally habit wake. So it sounds a bit terrifying, kind of like changing your child's sleeping bag while they're asleep, but you have to set yourself an alarm for an hour before when your child would normally wake. That's the terrifying part. So say your baby's waking at 5, you have to set an alarm for yourself for 4, which sucks, but it will be worth it. And you go in an hour before they'd normally wake and you just touch them or you stroke their head or you do something to kind of annoy them. And they should rouse slightly. So they'll just sort of, they might wiggle a bit, they might make a little sound, but they shouldn't wake up because you don't want to wake them up. You just want to kind of rouse them out of that sleep cycle. And then they, because they're still, you know, 80%, 90% asleep, they'll go into they'll kick off another whole sleep cycle. The idea is that they will then spend the next 90 minutes to 2 hours in that sleep cycle, therefore sleeping through their normal habit wake. And if you do this for 3 days, which sucks because you've got to wake up super early for 3 days, but you were waking up early anyway, then it should have broken their habit wake because they're just used to sleeping through that time. So that's the theory. And it does work in practice, especially in older babies.
It works really well for those babies where you can literally set an alarm clock to when you knew that the habit wake was. So you know that at 5:23, your baby's going to wake up. And so you set your own alarm for 4:23 and you go in and you disrupt that sleep cycle. So I guess another thing to actually break those early morning wakes is once your baby is awake, once we deem it morning, because, you know, your baby is still learning when it's nighttime and daytime, and so we do have to guide them into
set the rules. An
appropriate morning time is. So when it is morning, you open up those curtains, you take them straight to the window and you make sure that there's bright lights and talking to them and talking louder than what you would at nighttime. And that reinforces that wake up time for their body clock and helps them realize, you know what, this is daytime. This is when we feed. This is when we talk. This is when we're awake. And you don't get any of those things at nighttime or even in early morning, because it's got to be the boring time and that's when you're meant to be sleeping.
That's right. So hopefully amongst all of those things, there is a strategy there that works for you if your little one is stuck in this early morning waking cycle. I mean, I suppose to sum up all of those solutions, Amanda, the most important thing really is to get those daytime naps and everything spot on. But like we said, you know, that's not that hard to do. Changing the nap structure is not particularly difficult.
No.
And then you can definitely tick off the other things on that list, dark room, white noise, that they're warm enough. These are very, very easy ones. You can do this today. Like you can do this for your little one's sleep tonight. And you know, making sure you're staying away from a late bedtime. And if anything, if your little one has had an early wake, they're cranky. You should be aiming for a slightly earlier bedtime, if anything. It'll take a few days of doing whatever you're going to be doing and changing consistently to see improvements. So definitely don't try something once and go, oh, it didn't work, and give up. Because your little one needs a chance to catch up.
Anything with babies and sleeping is, the good thing is they give you another go the next day. So if it doesn't work, you do have to try it again the next day. And I think three to 5 days is a good rule for anything, if you're changing or implementing anything, that you are consistent, that you do give it a go for those, you know, 3 to 5 days. Otherwise, if you just give up too easily,
especially in an older baby, if you're trying to break a habit wake, you know, it's taken them a while to form that habit. They've stuck to it like glue. It's going to take you a little while to undo it. So be patient with them and be patient with yourself and give that a bit of time.
All right. So thanks so much for being here with us today. And make sure you check out our other podcasts for more sleep advice, or visit our website at www.littleones.co. Or as we said before, you can find us on the app stores, and make sure you come and hang out with us on our social channels, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest even. We're there on all of them. And thanks for coming and hanging out with us today.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
This is Little Ones, the Sleep Manual Podcast.